Illinois. High temperatures today will range from the single digits above zero across northwestern Wisconsin to the upper 30s across southwestern Missouri. Overnight low temperatures will range from the single digits below zero across northern Wisconsin to the middle 20s across southwestern Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, increasing cloudiness and very cold with a high of 17, the wind light and from the west. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 6 and a light wind from the southeast. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow and a high of 25. The wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday night, cloudy, not as cold. There's a chance for snow. The temperature will hold steady in the low 20s. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow. The high 28 and the wind from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday night and Friday, mostly cloudy with a low Thursday night of 16 and a high Friday of 22. Friday night, partly cloudy, colder, the low in the low teens. Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the upper teens. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the mid-teens to the low 20s. In Illinois, to our west and to our south, skies were cloudy. Chicago reported 19 degrees, Bloomington Normal 15, Danville 14, Effingham 17, and Carbondale 18. In Indiana, most locations reported sunny skies. South Bend had light snow. The temperature there, 22 degrees. It was 18 degrees at Lafayette, Indianapolis, and Evansville. And Terre Haute reported 17 degrees at the top of the hour. At Willard Airport, it was sunny and 15. The dew point 7. The wind was out of the west at 10, giving us a wind chill index of 2. The relative humidity, 70%. The barometric pressure, 30.27. and falling. And at 12:39 Central Time, 17 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois, and the skies are mostly cloudy. A federal judge in Virginia yesterday ruled part of the health care law is unconstitutional. This latest court decision applies to one part of the massive health care law, the insurance mandate. Other parts of the law remain in effect, according to the judge, and that includes expanded government help for Americans who cannot afford health insurance. A new report out this morning looks at a big segment of that population, baby boomers. Sarah Varmi has this report from member station KQED.
The boomers seem to be blessed. Happy-go-lucky, healthy and wealthy, they were the kid for whom everything seemed to tilt in their favor. Then they slammed head-on into the Great Recession.
One of the harsh realities for boomers, especially brought on by this recession, is that their optimistic view of the world has been shattered.
Matt Thornhill is president of the Boomer Project, a market research company. He says many older adults have suffered huge investment losses, and nearly one in four don't have enough money for even a modest retirement.
Those boomers today in their late 50s, early 60s, who have been unemployed for a handful of years now, can't find a job, find themselves up against health crises and unexpected expenses, they're just ill-equipped to deal with it.
And while those boomers have always seemed comfortably comfortable, the reality is that those aged 50 to 64 have been unemployed longer than other adults, and some 8.5 million have no health coverage.
I had a heart attack in June, and this is where you get into trouble real fast.
Bruce Bellingham is a dapper and pugnacious 59-year-old who lives in San Francisco. He's written a book, appeared in several movies, and trained as a chef. But for the last 5 years, he's been unemployed and uninsured. And that heart attack? It left him with $94,000 in medical debt.
I don't want to owe anybody anything. It's the way of the world these days. And as you get older, they never tell you this stuff in school. Things do not get easier.
But in a report released today, the nonpartisan health research foundation, the Commonwealth Fund, found boomers like Bellingham and some 18 million others would gain new benefits under the federal health law. Everything from direct government health coverage to new protections from high out-of-pocket costs. But it may take a while.
Starting in 2014, things really do change.
Sarah Collins authored the report.
If you lose coverage through an employer, you will have access to comprehensive benefits either through the Medicaid program or through this insurance exchange, where you'll also be eligible, depending on your income, for premium subsidies.
The report found more than 3 million baby boomers could get coverage under Medicaid, the government's insurance program for the poor. The federal law greatly expands Medicaid to include nearly all low-income adults. As of now, recipients need to have dependent children or be disabled to qualify. And some 3.5 million more boomers, the report estimates, will qualify for government subsidies to buy private health insurance. Yesterday's court ruling left all of this intact. Baby boomers, more active and diet-conscious than their meat and potato predecessors, are expected to live longer than past generations, but that depends in part on their ability to access medical care. Stephen Wallace is a public health professor at UCLA.
What's important about age 50 to 64 is that's the age at which you start seeing chronic conditions starting to appear. When you look at heart attacks among men, that's really when you first start to see an uptick.
Getting chronic conditions under control before the big chill set hits Medicare could also, in the end, save money. Studies have found uninsured adults, with their pent-up medical needs, end up costing the federal government dearly. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Varney.
Yesterday, we aired a report from Morning Edition about singer Pat Boone and his new line of meat products. The singer talked about donating a portion of sales revenues to conservative causes. Mercy Corps was listed as one of those charities. Mercy Corps, however, has asked Morning Edition to make it clear that its humanitarian work is non-political and non-religious. Here's an actor to keep your eye on. Anthony Mackie. In The Hurt Locker, he was the tightly wound sergeant, butting heads with a fellow soldier in his bomb disposal unit.
Hello, Mr. Bear. First time working together? What do you think?
I think us working together means I talk to you and you talk to me.
Are you going on a date, Sanborn?
No. We're going on a mission. And my job is to keep you safe so we can keep going on missions.
It's combat, buddy.
Hey. It's just 39 days. 38 if we survive today.
Since The Hurt Locker, Mackie has gone on to other films, and the latest is at art theaters now. It's called Night Catches Us. NPR's Netta Ulaby interviewed the actor in New York, where he's living part-time.
I asked Anthony Mackie's agent if we could meet someplace special to him. We ended up at his favorite bar, where he was playful with the doorman.
Easy, don't call security.
How are you?
Good to see you. Just come and get some sangria.
The place, Fig and Olive, is elegant, airy, tucked on a side street in the meatpacking district. The people who run it sometimes let Mackie live a fantasy.
I've always wanted to be a bartender, so I started hanging out with my friends here. I go and they let me get behind the bar and bartend.
On screen, Mackie is playing a very different role. In the movie Night Catches Us, he's a former Black Panther. The film set in the mid-1970s, and Mackie's character is suspected by everyone in his splintered Philadelphia neighborhood of informing to the FBI.
I got a message from the brothers.
They sent you?
Things done changed, snitch. I'm in charge now.
Got everybody fooled, huh? Go home.
Mackie was drawn to this tiny, low-budget movie because it explores a moment in Black history neglected by Hollywood. And he loved its richly regretful main character. He's a revolutionary disillusioned by the Panthers' collapse.
You know, you build this beautiful house of smoke and mirrors and cars, and then it just crumbles. And that's, I'm kind of in the place of rebuilding that crumbled card house.
Night Catches Us got a lot of positive buzz when it opened at Sundance last year. It's the first film from director Tonya Hamilton. She says Mackie brought understated torment and fury to the role.
But the fury is very tempered. You know, it's something that Mackie does really well. You know that there's warning under the surface. You know that the edge is so palpable and real, and yet he doesn't have to raise his voice. It's all in his eyes.
It meant everything for this first-time filmmaker to work with such a seasoned veteran. Mackie's only 31 years old, but he's been directed by the likes of Clint Eastwood and Jonathan Demme.
He kind of held my hand a little bit.
Tonya Hamilton's two leads, Anthony Mackie and Kerry Washington, have co-starred together before in Spike Lee's She Hate Me. Still, when it came time to direct their love scene, Tonya Hamilton got nervous.
Both of them said, okay, just step back. Here's how you do it. And they were like, you go here, you go here, you know, on the chair, on the floor. that was, I think, how generous he was as an actor to give me these little pieces that I didn't have.
But Mackey is part of a lineage of artists dedicated to bringing intelligent Black stories to the screen. He's been mentored since high school by the actor Wendell Pierce, who played Bunk on The Wire. Both are from New Orleans. When Mackey was 14, Pierce visited his school.
And I had never seen this broad, statuesque Black man in a pure white linen suit. Ever since then, I've just kind of been like running behind him like I was a rabbit and he had a carrot in his butt.
Mackey says Pierce is one of the forces who shaped his career. Another is his dad, who worked in construction.
Back West Louisiana, he didn't make it out of eighth grade.
Anthony Mackey's dad died tragically during Hurricane Katrina. When Mackey was growing up, his summers were spent working on roofs with his dad mopping tar.
My dad would pay me by how many squares of shingles I could put down. And this was before nail guns, when we couldn't afford nail guns. So literally, you're walking across a roof all day, 100-degree heat. And my dad would be like, you like this work? And I'd say, I hate it. And he'd be like, well, that's why you got to go to college. And I'm like, you don't have to worry about me.
One of Mackey's brothers went to law school. Another became a professor of engineering. Mackey went to Juilliard, Wendell Pierce's alma mater. He got a work-study scholarship with the school's physical plant. At first, he struggled. He even got put on probation after his first year. But he pulled himself together. Soon he was outpacing his classmates. He starred in an off-off-Broadway play before graduating. And when he did graduate, director Curtis Hanson cast Mackey as Eminem's enemy in the 2002 movie 8 Mile.
8 Mile was one of those things. I was a deer in headlights. You know, I showed up to set and Curtis Hanson was like, do this. And I was like, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. So we're on set and I'm supposed to play a rapper and there are all these real rappers on set. So I was like, I got to beef my machismo up. I can't let these dudes punk me, you know, because people were saying some crazy stuff. Like, you don't deserve to be in this movie. You ain't real. So I was like, oh, I'm real. You know?
These days, the project that's keeping Mackey's cell phone ringing is not a movie. It's his own bar. He's opening one in Bed-Stuy, New York. Guess who's building the furniture?
I built a counter like this, 16 feet long. I built 24-inch by 20-inch, two tops. That's my therapy. I bought a saw, I bought a router, bought all my bits. So now I just go around the neighborhood, find wood, make it into stuff.
I'm processing the idea of this guy in Academy Award-winning movies, scavenging.
The bar should open next year. Mackey lives in Bed-Stuy and New Orleans, where his girlfriend stays with their son. He says when he's back in New Orleans, there's one chore he will never do.
If there's a leak on my roof today, I don't care. I'll burn the house down before I get on the roof.
In the next year, Anthony Mackey's slate of films include one with Matt Damon called The Adjustment Bureau, based on a Philip K. Dick short story. More than anything, he'd love to play Jesse Owens, the Olympic athlete who defied Hitler. He's got a script. He's looking for a producer. Netta Ulibi,